My name is Alan Morse, and we're starting another teaching, and we're talking about baptism. And this is our second teaching. This would be baptism part two. And we have gone through a part dealing with baptism. We dealt with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, where Paul told us that Christ told him not to baptize. And so now we're moving on to Ephesians. So turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 4. We got to go, and we're just going to go through that. We went through a little bit of it the last time, but we'll just continue with that. Ephesians chapter 4. So get your Bibles open, get your pencils and papers, and follow along with me and write these verses down, because these are tremendously important, because you're going to be an ambassador for Christ, and in order to do that, you've got to know the book so that you can open this up and show people. It's better than memorizing even. You've got to memorize where these things are so that you can open the Bible. Then read it to them, because then you'll get the word directly from the scriptures, not from you. Even though you may have it baptized, it's not the same as when you open the book up and you show it to them. So that way, this is what I want you to do, to be able to do that, to turn to these scriptures, and then you can read it to them. Eventually, you'll have them virtually memorized. But now, just get so you can find these scriptures to show people so that they can rightly divide the Word of God. So let's look at, here we go now. We're starting in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, and verse 4, it says, there is one body, we talked about that, it's the body of Christ. There's one Spirit, and it's capital S, it's the Holy Spirit. Even as you were called to one hope, and our one hope is Jesus, because He's the only one that was qualified to pay the sin debt for you and me. He was a perfect person, and He was able to do that, and pay the sin debt for you and me. Now, verse 5, there's one Lord. You notice it's always just one. It says, one Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, of course. Now, there's one faith. Now, this is something that most people don't understand, and it's too bad, because it's not preached. But this is what the book says. There is one faith. If you ask 10 people, what would they say? It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not. We have one faith. And let me show you what we have one faith in. You look at Colossians. Just turn over to Colossians, just to the right, just a few pages, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and look at verse 21. This is fantastic. This is a verse that you just got to know how to find. Write it down now. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21. And we're talking about faith. It says there's one faith. It says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your own mind and wicked works. He's talking about me. He's talking about you. At one time we were alienated enemies in our mind by wicked works, yet now hath He, who, Christ, has reconciled. See, He reconciled us. How did He reconcile us? In the body of His flesh through death. See, this is the gospel. He died for our sins in the body of His flesh through death. What did He do? To present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Think about that. Can you comprehend that? We can stand before God when you believe this gospel by the death of Christ. He died on that cross to pay for your sins, you see. It's that what He did is what saved us, and in doing so, He took every sin that we've ever committed or ever thought of committing, and He did away with it. And so we can stand before God holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. He can't say, well, Al, you should have did it this way. When you're on earth, you didn't do it right. You should have done this, or you should have. No, we are unreprovable in His sight. But there's an if there. There's an if there. There's only one more place that I could find that there's an if, and that is in the gospel itself, in 1 Corinthians 15, the most important verse in the Bible. And what it tells us is the gospel. Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel. I'm just taking it off my head. I thought I missed a little bit of it. But he says, I'll declare unto you the gospel, which I have preached to you, which you have received, and which you stand, and by which you are saved. That's the gospel that he's going to tell you. But he had an if there. If you keep in memory of the things that I taught to you, unless you have believed in vain, see. You have to believe it, and you have to understand it. You've got to know what you believe. And then he goes on telling you what the gospel is, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. So there's an if here in verse 23. If you continue in the faith. Now, that's what we're looking at. What is faith as far as Paul's concerned? Look what he says. This faith is grounded and settled and not moved away and believing in Jesus. It didn't say that, did it? It says, what your faith is, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from what? The hope of the gospel. You see, it's Christ's death on the cross that we are looking at constantly. It's what he did for us, and he did everything. He saved us through that. So all we have to do is believe what he did on that cross. He died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. This is where our faith is. Totally, 100%. Sure, it's Jesus. Sure it is. But he didn't point to himself. He pointed to what he did. But look what it said. That hope that we grounded and settled and not be moved away. This is faith for the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Therein I, Paul, am made a minister. See, Paul was made a minister to preach the gospel. And he did. So this verse is just shows you what faith is. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. It says, in verses 5, it says, one faith. And then it says, but the text we're talking about, one baptism. It didn't say two baptism. It said one baptism. And here we're going to find out what that one baptism is. Just turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn back to 1 Corinthians. And let's look at chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verses, I think it's 13. Yes, verses 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 13. It says, for by one Spirit, and it's capital S, so that's the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. That's what our baptism is. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's but what God does that counts. It's not what we do. Baptism is an ordinance of Judaism. Has nothing to do with the body of Christ. That's why Paul was separated totally from the Jews. When he came down from the city of Damascus, when he left there, when they lowered him down, you know, in a bucket or a basket, you know, because they were going to kill him if he went through the gates in the middle of the night. Did God send him right up there to get with Peter, James, and John and start preaching their gospel, the gospel of the kingdom? No. He went to Arabia, and he spent approximately three years with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave him the gospel of grace to teach to the new church, the body of Christ. He gave us and separated us totally from Judaism. Why? Because Judaism failed. 100%. You see, the Jews could not keep the law. They could not keep all the 600 or 700 laws and regulations that God had put upon them, or not God, but the Judaizers put on them to help them think that they're going to draw them closer to God. And it didn't work. They killed their Messiah. Not only did they kill their Messiah, Jesus, by the horriblest death that you can have, but they tried to kill everybody that believed in him. See, that's what Saul of Tarsus was doing when he was going the road to Damascus. He had already ran all the Jews out of Jerusalem, all except the disciples. They had a good place to hide, I guess. But they ran them all out, and the ones that they caught, they put them in prison, and then they voted to have them killed. So not only did the Jews kill Jesus, they tried to kill everybody that believed in him. And Paul went through a living hell himself when he went to the Jews to preach the gospel to them. You see, and we won't get into that, but we know that he was just, they just beat him to death, and they stoned him to death. And he went through all kinds of horrible problems. And so Jesus decided to make a whole new church, and he was going to go to the Gentiles, and he was going to make a new church called the Body of Christ, and it had nothing to do with Judaism, you see. And baptism is nothing but a Judaistic, has nothing to do with the church. Water baptism. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit. And this is when, that. What does that mean? Christ lives in you. You got to see this. I just got to see this. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. You will probably see it again. I just go to it a lot. It says in verses 27, Colossians 1:27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. See, among the Gentiles, it's for us, the Gentiles. What is it? When you're baptized, what happens to you? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And look what 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. How can that happen? When Christ lives in you. I mean, he makes all the difference in the world. What Christ does. And it happens as soon as you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. And Christ lives in you. And he, soon as he came into me, it just made all the difference in the world. Are you perfect now? No. But I want to be. Because I got God living in me. I don't want to sin. I don't even want to come near it. I don't want to. Oh, I stumble. But he picks me up and draws me closer to him. His blood covered my sins. It's not a license to sin, because I don't want to sin. That's the last thing I do want to do is sin when I have the Lord Jesus living in me. And who does? And it's just wonderful. It's wonderful. He's speaking through me right now because I'm teaching the Word of God. See, it's not my Word. I'm teaching God's Word. And this is tremendously important. So, we see that there is only one baptism. We saw that. And now, what is that one baptism? We just saw it. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's just wonderful. We just went to Ephesians 1:13, and we saw what happens when we are baptized. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You see, you only get the Holy Spirit when you believe the gospel. It says, after you believed. You see, you believe. Well, let's just make sure that we don't make any mistakes. You turn to Ephesians chapter 1 again. Look what it says. Listen real carefully. In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth. Now, when Paul says truth, he always deals with the gospel. When he says faith, it's always the gospel. So, and there's several. He's, when the power of God, see, when he talks about power, it's always the gospel. When he talks about doctrine, it's always the gospel. And I can prove each and every one, but this is the truth. This is the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed. You see, you have to believe this gospel of your salvation, see, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose. What happens? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to you and you're sealed. You can't lose your salvation as long as you hold to the gospel. You believe the gospel. It can't happen. And when you believe something, you're never going to turn away from it. Because if you turn away from it, obviously you didn't believe in it. So there's no way that anybody can lose their salvation being as they believe the gospel. And that's just as plain as day. So that is tremendously important. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to see how important it is not to add anything to the gospel. Let's turn to Galatians, not to the right, chapter 5. And let's take, I was in Ephesians. Galatians chapter 5. Now I'm having stumbling around here. I got a new Bible and I love it, but boy, it's harder to get around. But anyway, Galatians chapter 5. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free." You see, we're not entangled in the law. And baptism is a part of the law. It's a part of the law. And we're not dealing with our works. We have no works. Only work we have is belief, and that's not a work. Because Jesus did all the works on the cross, and all we got to do is believe it. See, we're not entangled under the yoke of bondage of the law, see. It's made us free. Be not entangled to the yoke of bondage. It's just kind of like a yoke on a group of oxen that had to pull a plow. You just kept pulling and pulling and pulling, and you just kept going in circles, see, as they grind the wheat, and you never got anywhere, see. And that's what the yoke of bondage was. Look what it says here. Now, here's what was happening. This Galatian church is a Gentile church that Paul put together, and Paul, Peter, and James and John's people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They were totally Jew. They didn't drop their Jewishship. They were still Jews, but they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And they saw these Gentile churches, they believed in Jesus, and that's all they had to do, was believe that Christ, believe the gospel, see. And so they said, well, we believe in Jesus, and you believe in Jesus by your gospel, but you've got to do something. You need to be circumcised. See, that was a law. See, you need to keep the law. Nobody could keep the law. They couldn't keep the law. All the law did was show them that they were sinner. But they didn't understand that, see. He said, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." I mean, he's talking about the body of Christ. If these Jews put enough pressure on you to tell you in order to be saved, you have to be circumcised, and you do, Christ will profit you nothing, because he won't take it, because he did it all on the cross. You don't have to do anything to be saved, just but believe the gospel. Okay? "For I testify every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you whatsoever. You are justified by the law," see? "You are fallen from grace." And what did Paul tell them? That if you be baptized, he said that the cross has no benefit for you. It's the same thing. We do nothing for our salvation. Now you could use a lot of things. You know, the Jews could have said, "Well, you've got to keep the Sabbath." You see, we're not involved in the Sabbath day. You've got to continue to sacrifice. We're not involved in the sacrifices. You've got to keep in temple worship. We're not involved in temple worship. We're not involved in anything. All we have to do is believe the gospel, and Christ does everything next, everything else. Can you imagine anything more wonderful? That's why we can praise God. That's why we can love Him more than anything, because He did everything for us. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy. Let's go on over here to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look at verses 15. This is tremendously important. We've got to understand this. And this is what every one of us needs to do. This verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15. And it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." You see, this is can you stand up before God and be a workman that not to be ashamed, because you know the word of God? And then you have to rightly divide the word of truth. I don't know how many times I've read this in my lifetime, and it always was rightly divide the word of God. How I got that, I don't know, except Satan put it in my mind. It had nothing to do with rightly dividing the word of God. It had rightly divided the word of truth. Well, what's the word of truth? Well, compare Scripture with Scripture. Remember I told you we'd be going back to Ephesians again? Well, that's okay. This is what it is. The word of truth, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 again. What does it say? "In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth." What's the word of truth? The gospel, see. the gospel of your salvation, whom after you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But the word of God, I mean the word of truth, is the gospel. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verses 5. Colossians chapter 1 verses 5. It says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel." So the word of truth is the gospel. So how do you rightly divide the gospel? Well, this is where the churches have really failed, and they don't understand. During the time when Peter, James, and John, and even Jesus was teaching, and the times when Paul was teaching, there were two gospels. Two gospels. One of the gospels that was taught was the gospel of the kingdom. That's what Jesus taught. See, we saw that. He taught the gospel of the kingdom. And that was that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, that was the gospel of the kingdom. And then Paul was given a total different gospel to preach to the Gentiles, called the gospel of grace. Meaning Christ did it all. All we have to do is look to the cross for our salvation. And that's what we do. And that's what our salvation is. And that's when we get the baptizing of the Holy Spirit. He does it. We don't do it. We do nothing for our salvation except believe what Christ did on that cross. See, the two gospels. It's important to understand that. And we saw that in Matthew chapter 9, that what Jesus preached this gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. And now we know the gospel of grace, 1 Corinthians 15. Well, I just quoted it to you, that Christ died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Now, let's look at, turn back to Galatians. Turn back to Galatians and look at chapter 2. Boy, the time goes by so fast. This is the conference that Jesus just told Paul to go up to Jerusalem, because he was having such a problem with the Judaizers. So these were Peter, James, and John's people. They were coming into this church, and they were trying to put works on to these people. And they so finally decided they're going to go up and settle this problem once and for all. And this is where the two Gospels come together. And they clash hard. But I'm not going to read the whole second chapter, but we'll just come in at verses 7. And this is when, after he had came all the way from Antioch, about 300 miles, him and they came, and Barnabas and Titus was there also. But anyway, they came up to meet with the 12 disciples. And it says, verse 7, this is Acts chapter 2, verses 7. Acts chapter 2, verses 7. And it says, "But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of grace," or saw the gospel of the uncircumcision, which is the gospel of grace, that's to the Gentiles, "was committed unto me," this is Paul speaking, "as the gospel of the circumcision," or the Jew, "was committed unto Peter." See, two different gospels. Oh, they try to put them together, but you can't. You can't put them together. One is for the Jew, and it's perfect. And it's salvation for the Jew. And the one is for the Gentile, and salvation for the Gentile. Totally different. It says, verse 8, "For he that wrought affectionately in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me." See, God was in both of these, see, toward the Gentiles, see. "And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen," or to the Gentiles, "and they would go to the circumcision." They agreed that God was working in Paul, and that he would take his gospel, the gospel of grace, to the body of Christ, see, to the Gentiles, see. A totally different church than Judaism. And Peter, James, and John would take their gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, to the Jews, that Christ was the Messiah. And see, that was perfect. And both of those gospels were preached as only about a 50-60 year time. And after that, after Romans came, Titus came down and destroyed Jerusalem, and God set them aside. Now there's only one gospel now. You see, you won't find any place in this world where the Jews believe that Jesus is the Messiah. You see, it just won't happen. And so they totally rejected Jesus. So the only way they can be saved is by the gospel of grace. And if they believe the gospel of grace, they'll be saved just like you and me. And it's just wonderful. But you can see the churches have not rightly divided the word of truth. And they're taking the gospel of the kingdom and put it in the church today, and it doesn't belong there. Even if you do, Christ has no benefit for you. If you be baptized, the cross will become of no effect. You see, you're lost for eternity if you are baptized by water in the body of Christ, because there's no such thing as works in the body of Christ. So we need to stop here, and we'll continue on. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to preach this gospel and to preach baptism the way that you wanted it to be done. And we just pray that the people will understand and will learn, and that they will come to the knowledge of the gospel for their salvation, and live the lives that you would want them to live when you live in them. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.